Peter. Does anyone remember we talked about Peter way last summer? My favorite definition of him, no filter Peter, right? He tends to just say whatever he's thinking when he thinks it. And in this part of Mark chapter 14, we find Peter doing it again, right? In two different ways this time. First, Jesus comes to him in Mark 14, 27, and to all of his disciples and says, you are all going to fall away from me tonight. And Peter, who loved Jesus with all of his heart, was the first one to say, no, never, it won't be me. Everybody else will do it. I won't do it. Right? And then we all know what happens. He did deny Jesus. Right? Now, he was the only one who had the courage to follow Jesus after he was arrested, and he did. He did. So that crazy part of Peter that was always acting or saying before thinking had the courage to go and follow and see after Jesus was arrested. But then when they recognized him, he was the first one to say, no, I don't know Jesus. I'm not a part of him. Peter, right? At the end of that passage, though, when the rooster finally crows, it says at the end of that in Scripture that he then remembered what Jesus had said, that Jesus told him he would do that. And it says he went away and wept bitterly. I want to talk in just a minute about the life lessons from Peter and what we can learn about Jesus from this passage in Mark. But I want to start with something. I still remember the day, the first real day, that I realized someone had betrayed me. I was a senior in high school, and I was quite proud of myself. I was helping one of the leaders of my youth group lead a prayer time for the youth that night. We were broken into different groups, and I was leading one group, and different people were leading others. And on the way home from that event, one of my friends came to me and told me how one of my best friends, who had been a friend since sixth grade, 6 years of my life, had spent the time in her prayer group talking about me in not so nice ways. And I was devastated. How could a friend do that to me? Right? And I remember sitting at my dining room table with my mom and my dad with tears streaming down my face. What kind of friend talks about another friend behind their back and says mean and awful things to others? We've all been there, haven't we? We've all been betrayed in some way. And Jesus was too. So what do we learn from that? What do we take away? As we've been reading through Mark, I've been encouraging you to ask four questions, right? What about God? What do I learn about God? What do I learn about people? And now what? What do I do with that? And then who can I tell about what I've learned? So I'm going to mix it up a little bit this morning, and we're going to start with what we learn about people. What are some life lessons we can learn about people from Peter? All right, so number one, we can choose our responses. You know, we can. At Kids Central, the kids have been talking about different kinds of problems and our responses to them. Kids, there's three kinds of problems, right? A bump. Oh, I heard it. A bump, a hill, and a mountain. There are bump problems, and those are kind of small, right? And we should have a small response to them. We should be able to kind of adjust and go from there. And then there are hill problems that are a little bit bigger, and we might need someone else to kind of help us figure that out. Or there are mountain problems that are so big that really they need another person and probably God to help us tackle those, right? Bumps, hills, and mountains. The problem is that some of us tend to respond to all of life's situations and all of life's problems as if they are mountains. Overreacting, right? One small bump in the road and life is over and I'm not going to make it to tomorrow. And we can all laugh and think that's the toddler way to handle it, but we're all adults and we know other adults and sometimes ourselves that do the same thing, right? And friends, that's Peter. He was always overreacting, right? Taking the most extreme perspective. But you know what? We can learn kind of from an opposite and also from the rest of Peter's life. We can choose our responses. We can choose. I love this description of Peter in Acts. So we, in Mark, we see all the bad side of Peter, right? All the times he overreacted. But something started to happen in Peter over time until at this point in Acts, after he's been preaching about Jesus and thousands of people are coming to know Christ, this is how Peter is described. When they saw the courage of Peter and realized he was an unschooled, ordinary man, they were astonished and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. Now that's a way to be described, isn't it? That person has been with Jesus. I think Peter learned over time that he could choose his responses according to how Jesus would respond. And you know, I hope that's something that people say about me. I don't know if you agree that you would like people to say it about you, but I would love it at the end of my life if someone said, "We knew she had been with Jesus." That's a pretty good description. I'd take that as the highest compliment. Now, one of the ways that we get there, I think, is by choosing our responses. And there is a scripture that I have been working on since I was just after college, memorizing and continuing to try to practice to this day. And it's found in James 1:19. Now, to have it read for us, I have at least two people who said that they are ready to recite it for me. So James 1:19, Vicky, Tresor, are you ready? Come on up, come on up. So some of you might wonder what it is that we do on Wednesday nights, and we do a whole lot of things, but sometimes what we do is in my van this week, we memorized a scripture verse on our way home from New Neighbors. Now, did anybody else do it? Sophia, did you do it? You coming up? Come on. Did Moshi and Tausi, did you guys work on it? Come on up. And a special clap for having the courage to come up in front of everyone and say it. Good job. See me afterwards and I will have a cookie for you. All right, did everybody get that? How do we choose our responses? By being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And verse 20 says, "For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." Isn't that the truth? We can choose our responses. With God as our helper, it makes a big difference. All right, second life lesson from Peter. We are capable of many things, good and bad. Good and bad. Peter was not all good, and he was not all bad. People are not all good, and they are not all bad. You are not all good or all bad. The Bible verses in your note page, I forgot to mention this. You can take notes on the blue devotional sheet today. I actually had a note paper in there with blanks, so that's kind of cool, but I forgot, so now you're halfway through. Anyway, there are scriptures in there that you can look up. It's important to know about yourself that you are capable of good and very good things and bad and very bad things. Peter was a courageous follower of Jesus and a fearful denier of Jesus. Peter said one thing and did another, and Peter also used his words to introduce thousands of people to Jesus. As I was writing this week, I was convicted. I thought about how often I want to write someone off when they lie to me, when they say and do the wrong thing, when they hurt me. I want to be done. And then I thought, well, have I ever said one thing and done another? Have I ever talked about someone behind their back? Have I ever let someone down? Yeah. And how often do I judge myself that harshly as well? I do one bad thing and suddenly I'm saying I'm a failure and I'm 100% a bad person. And that's not true either. We are both sinners and we are created in the image of God. We are ugly and beautiful. We have both things deeply in us. Peter's problem, and perhaps ours, is we don't often have an accurate assessment of ourselves. Back in the day, adults would quote the King James Version of Proverbs 16:18 to remind ourselves of kind of both of those things. They would say, "Pride goeth before a fall." Anybody ever heard that one? Right? Peter sometimes, I think, forgot his humanity and he rushed in. "I'll never deny you, Jesus. Not me." But one thing I remember from my premarital counseling that our counselor told us is never use the word never or always. It's just not true, and it causes many extra problems when you use it in a fight with your spouse. "You never do this. You always do this." It's not true. No one never or always does one thing or the other, right? It just pours gasoline on the fire. Rather, listen to these words of Paul in Romans 12:3. "Do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Be reasonable when you think about yourself. Keep in mind the amount of faith God has given you. You are both good and bad. You are capable of doing amazing, beautiful things, and especially when you let God shine out through you. And you are capable of doing hurtful and sad and awful things. And we need to stay humble about that." This idea of both helps us to be confidently humble, not to think too much of myself, but also not to think too little. And most of us tend to fall on one side or the other, right? We either think we're worthless and God could never use us and we can never do any good, or we think we can do it on our own most of the time and we're a pretty great person. We kind of do one or the other. But God calls us to this being reasonable about how we think of ourselves. We are capable of both amazing things and very hard things. Now, here's the third lesson from the life of Peter. We can keep following. We don't have to give up. Failure doesn't have to be final. Do you know, if Peter had said that night when he betrayed Jesus, the worst thing he had ever done, and he was sobbing, crying before the Lord, if he said, "That's it, I'm done, I can't follow Jesus anymore," think of what the church would have missed out on. Peter was the one who really started the church of Jesus that we know today. Thousands of people he shared the good news of Jesus with, because failure is not the end. It doesn't have to be. We can choose to keep following. The Bible says if we just simply confess our sins, God will forgive us. And in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, "Let us throw off everything that stands in our way. Let us throw off any sin that holds on to us tightly. Let's keep running the race marked out for us. Let's keep looking to Jesus. Because this passage also teaches us two things about Jesus. One, Jesus understands our pain. Jesus gets it. He has been betrayed, hurt, denied. He knows what it is to have a friend turn their back on him. He understands your pain like no one else can. He understands the deep feelings you are feeling. You can take it to him and sit with him. I love that Jesus. It's the reason that Jesus, I say, is my very best friend. And he is. Because I can take anything to him. He absolutely understands what I'm feeling. Nothing surprises him. I also love this other side of Jesus. Jesus keeps reaching out to us. It's funny to me how sometimes in Scripture just one or two words can hold deep significance. And there is a Scripture at the end of this story. After Jesus has died, and Peter was not there with him, after someone else, not one of Jesus' 12 disciples, someone else offered a tomb for Jesus' body to be in. It was the women who had the courage to be at the cross with him, right? And the women who had the courage to come that day after Sabbath and bring spices and prepare his body for death. And it was the women then who got to hear the first person say, "The tomb is empty. Jesus isn't here. He's alive." But do you know what that man said in Mark? He said, "Jesus is not here. Now go tell the disciples and Peter." That's Jesus keeping reaching out to us, isn't it? Peter, who had denied him, Jesus sends a messenger to say, "Go tell the disciples," but he doesn't just say all of them, "and Peter." Tell Peter. If you ever thought that Jesus would give up on you, you're no worse than Peter, friends. And Jesus didn't give up on Peter. And he doesn't give up on you. Failure isn't final. It doesn't have to be. We can keep following the kind of Jesus who keeps reaching out to us. So now the last question. Now what? Now what? What about us? Will we turn to Jesus with our pain, our failure, our good things, our bad things? Will we choose to keep following even after we mess up? Will we choose to turn back and receive Jesus' open arms reaching out for us? He loves us just as he loved Peter. He desires for us to choose good responses, good things, but even when we don't have to give up. Because Jesus does not give up on us. We can keep following. I'm going to give you just a moment, a quiet moment, to sit with Jesus. Maybe you've been discouraged this week with your responses, your choices, your failures. Would you take some time right now and sit with Jesus and hear what he has to say to you? It might be different than the voices of your guilt. Are you feeling betrayed or hurt today? You can take some time to sit with Jesus and tell him about it. He understands. I'm going to give you just a moment. Eric's going to play just a quiet song, no words, just music. And I want you to just sit with Jesus for a moment and hear what he has to say to you, and then we'll close in prayer.